Wonderful music. Thank you. And with that inspiring introduction, okay, I'm going to turn the podium over to Linda Smith, and she'll be speaking to you first.
Thank you to Roy and John. That was beautiful, just beautiful. So today we're talking about order, harmony, and balance. I look to the center of my navel or abdomen, and that is where I immediately know if I'm in harmony with myself and with others. If I feel pain or tightness, feelings of nervousness punctuated by a fluttering of butterflies, I know that I am not in balance. When I am at peace, there is a relative sense of order in my life, and I feel calm. This feeling that we all so desperately want to experience often feels fleeting. Like you're running a marathon, and you're just about to cross the finish line, when someone runs out of nowhere and pushes you off to the side. We're daily faced with people, places, and situations that threaten to diminish our sense of order, harmony, and balance. We feel as if they are doing it on purpose. Everything would be great if only they would do or not do the thing that we perceive as a problem. Finding harmony in our lives requires a greater level of acceptance on our part. We are encouraged to be more accepting of others, understanding that when we are attacked, either intentionally or not, it is merely this person seeking order and control in their own lives. We bump into each other and do not always meet our loved one's expectations. But in this messy thing that we call life, we can emerge with our self-awareness and identity intact. And we can also be loving and kind to one another. The Native American Indians have long believed that part of maintaining a good life, one that's free of sickness, one free of conflict, requires that one strive for social and spiritual harmony and balance. There is a saying, it's kind of a mantra, peace through unity, unity through trust, trust through honesty. This internal harmony and balance allows individuals to be at peace with their bodies, their thoughts, and their emotions. Social harmony and balance was necessary in order for Native Americans to work and live together. Matters that affected the tribe would be discussed until there was consensus. There was never a vote. Issues were simply discussed until there was harmony. And that meant that all were in agreement to a course of action. Native Americans also believed in the balance and harmony with plants and animals. They actually had what they called plant people. These people gathered and used wild plants, and it was their job to take care of the plants, both spiritually and physically. The tribe would aid in their efforts by doing something they called purifying. They would burn areas of land regularly in order for the plants to be actually more abundant when they grew back. This morning on the way to service, I actually heard a really interesting story about bumblebees. I've never really thought of this before, but there are different kinds of bees, and each of them serve a different purpose. Some of you may know that bees are kind of in danger. Their numbers are down, and that causes problems with pollination. But bumblebees are special. They serve a unique function. It turns out when they vibrate near a flower, roughly the tone of C, and it has to be that perfect tone, the flowers will emit the pollen. So it was really struck me that, you know, everything does need to be in balance. There is that perfect space where everything is flowing the way it's supposed to be. And plants and animals have that too. In addition to plant people, there were also animal people. In many tribes, before going out to hunt, the hunter would explain to the master spirit of the animal that the human people had need for food, for clothing, and for all that the animal could provide. In a respectful way, the hunter would ask the master spirit of the animal to allow an animal to be taken. After the kill, there would be a song or words of thanksgiving. Asking permission and then giving thanks are always ways of maintaining the natural harmony and balance. I thought of Hurricane Harvey and the devastation to our nation in Texas and beyond. Our hearts go out to all the people who are homeless, dealing with water in Gulf City, where the basic drinking water and supplies are in need. Amidst all of the loss and suffering, you see people banding together, offering rides to strangers, opening their homes and their businesses, providing shelter and food. We cannot help but marvel at the spirit of our people. We are one. Our human nature and place in this world requires this push and pull, up and down, good and bad, in and out. We could not exist without knowing both sides of this coin. They are different, and yet they are one. To know joy, we must know pain. To know love, we must know hate. To know happiness, we must know sadness. The practice of order, balance, and harmony is simply something that we do in order for our life to be good. The Chinese have their own views on the subject. The concept of harmony is based in music, and it flourished under Confucius. Confucius, if you didn't know, was born about 550 years before Christ. He developed a way of thinking that emphasized personal and governmental morality, a correctness of social relationships, justice and sincerity. You may have heard of Confucianism, which embodies these ideas. He is best known for the principle, do unto others as you would have done to you, the golden rule. Now, a more modern approach to harmony is the harmonious society. The increase of social injustice and equality and inequality on mainland China has resulted in an unchecked economic growth and has led to a lot of social conflict in their country. I recently represented unity at Notre Dame. There was an interfaith expo for graduate students, and Sandy asked me to come with some of our unity materials and kind of share with students, you know, who are we, what do we do? There, I met a young man from China. His name was Zhu Qing. He was tall and lanky. He had short, spiky black hair, black-rimmed glasses, and a big smile that spread from both sides of his face. He was just so sweet. He gave me his Chinese name, and then he laughed and said, "Everyone calls me Nick." I inquired about his studies at Notre Dame and his travels to the U.S. He shared, "This is my fourth time in the United States." And he rattled off all the universities he had studied at. He said, "This is my first time at Notre Dame. You know, in my country, the factories have polluted our small towns, and I work with a group of people to help identify where these towns are. In these towns, the water isn't good, and the people are sick, and we're trying to help them." "I am an activist," he says, proudly, with his shoulders pulled back and his chest puffed out. I cringed a little bit on the inside, thinking that perhaps he didn't understand fully the power of what he was saying. His English was pretty good, but not great. And those words can mean a lot of things. My family and I traveled and lived in China for about a month in 2011. I would get up early in the morning and take a walk on the streets. Colin was strapped to my chest in a baby carrier. Out there, the pollution hung in the air like a thick blanket of gauze, and I coughed continuously. I worried. Had I made a mistake bringing my baby into this environment? But we were there now, and there was really no going back. We ate dinner and talked with students regularly and different colleagues, and we were told it was not uncommon for people to disappear, especially when they had voiced any opposing ideas to the government or criticized things publicly. Sometimes individuals reappeared, and sometimes they didn't. If they did reappear, they were always silent about their experience and voiced no opposition. And I was struck and inspired that my young friend Nick, he knew all of this, and he still was charging ahead, making a difference, trying to make things better for others, embodying the spirit of order, harmony, and balance. So you may ask yourself, how can I have more order, harmony, and balance in my life? It can begin with small things in our lives, like cleaning out the junk drawer, getting rid of clothes that don't fit and that you haven't worn in years, balancing your checkbook and getting real with your personal finances. You might then reach out to a coworker who has been giving you the cold shoulder, or invite a friend to lunch that you had a disagreement with. The harder ones are having honest conversations with people that we love and accepting what they say without defending or blaming. Whatever you do, big or small, celebrate yourself for taking that step towards order, harmony, and balance. Feel it from within, and let yourself be filled with the peace that God has intended for you.
Good morning. Well, despite what Terry said about my promises to be brief or not brief, this is one of the places in which he really has very little control over me. So you can just, you know, forget he said that. When the board talked about us participating in this service, we said, well, speaking on the power of the month would be a good idea. So I said, sure, you know. And then a couple weeks later, we were awake. I was sitting up in bed checking my phone for my morning email, playing Candy Crush, checking Twitter and Facebook. And an email came in from Linda, and she was reminding us about the commitment and said, and the power of the month is order. And I went, order? Oh, no, order. That is a core issue that I believe I've been dealing with for my entire life, and probably the one power that I may be at most at odds with. And this is a true story. Actually, I had been on Twitter right that second before, and I'd seen an article about order and disorder in the brain and how the disorder may impact the brain. And after I saw Linda's message, I thought, well, that would be good. I can save that article and put it on my Twitter feed, and maybe it will be something that I can use for my talk. Well, and it talked about having a bazillion tabs open. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is my article. Well, I went back to find it later, and lo and behold, I could not find it. I'm sure that I had tweeted it. I couldn't find it. I spent a lot of time looking and Google, couldn't find it. And I thought, isn't this just the example, you know, the person with a bazillion tabs open couldn't find the article she might want for the talk. And it also made me think of a time that I bought a book at the bookstore called Heal Your Clutter, or Manage Your Clutter with Feng Shui, something like that. And I lost the book. It was under the bed in a pile of books, and I didn't find it for a long time. So order, definitely. You know, when I found out that I was going to be speaking on order, it was kind of like, physician, heal thyself. And Mr. Order here, when I told him that that was going to be my topic, guffawed. And I said to him, I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm just your karma. Or maybe he's mine. I don't know. But anyway, because I think order makes me think about the will of God. When I was a kid in Napanee, my particular religious tradition always would say that if something happened, and it was almost always something bad, it was the will of God. And like a tornado or somebody died or something like that. And so in my mind, I think the will of God became something to be avoided, you know, or feared. And then when I found Unity, we talked about divine order. And that was really kind of a kinder, gentler spirituality, but it still implied, because, you know, have you noticed that we always talked about divine order when something bad was happening or something uncontrollable was happening or something we didn't like? Rarely, you know, at least do I wake up on a good day when everything's going great and going, oh, thank you, everything is in divine order. So when I composed this talk, I thought about things that I needed to hear, so I hope that some of them will be things you can hear also with profit. As I said, I was also playing Candy Crush on my phone at the same time. And I had thought about, actually, a couple of weeks before this, why am I so addicted to this game? It's really stupid. It's a waste of time. You move these little colored candies around. Most of you probably are familiar with it, or maybe. And it struck me at that time that with everything going on in our world that has me constantly fearful and worried and enraged and out of sorts, and also things going on in my personal life, which all of you have those things or have had them, so they're nothing different than anybody else's. But, you know, the people that, the universe at large and the people around me don't seem to appreciate me when I try to tell them, as you said, Linda, well, you know, if you would just do this and this and this, it would all be great, you know. prophet is not without honor except in her own home, I guess. I believe that Jesus said that. So it struck me that playing Candy Crush was some way to at least bring some order. You know, all you have to do is get those little colored candies in a row and they explode and you get to go up to a higher level. So I thought, well, that's part of it. But this is the thing, and this is kind of like real life. You have your candies in order, or you think you do, and you make a move and it affects things all over the entire board. It can. And all of a sudden things are exploding and cascading down, and the moves that you thought you had planned are not in place any longer because they've been, you know, affected differently. So I'm using the Candy Crush game kind of as a metaphor, or because today I want to talk about order with a little O and divine order with capital letters. And so little O is the things we all do in our lives, which we need to do. This is not to bash little O, but this is the kind of state of operation that Freud called the ego. And the ego's gotten a bad name over the years sometimes, but Freud really didn't intend it to be bad. It just was the thing that helps us balance our checkbook, take our dog to their groomer, enroll our kid in school, get a job, all those things. So ego has its place in the third dimensional world. However, as I thought about this, I thought about the ways in which ego can run amok and overstep its bounds. And one of the metaphors I'm going to use today is the ice cube and the water. Because I read an article which likened the ego to an ice cube, which is a frozen, solidified, separated state of being. And many of us in the West, most of us in the West, are taught to operate mainly from the state of ego. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have family and friends and people that we love and cooperate with, but the default way of operating, especially when we're stressed, I believe, is to kind of get back into that, I'm a separate entity, you're a separate entity, let's, you know, go through this in ways that I can try to manage. I think that when we're calm and peaceful, we can accept the idea of a larger reality, but it gets hard when we're under stress. I have a quote here that I was going to read about what happens to that, which I don't see at the moment, so I'll just paraphrase it. When we act like we're separate, when we function on that level, we actually become less able to manage the things we're trying to manage. And we, with anxiety and frustration, we even block ourselves from being able to see options. So I'm going to suggest another state of being, which is divine order. And if the ego or the small order state is like an ice cube, then let's think of divine order as like water. So I've defined divine order as a flowing process, a flowing interconnection of events and people, a process which is firmly grounded upon an impartial set of laws and principles. Now, and this is the important part, an impartial set of laws and principles which are not always immediately visible to us. So when I'm trying to bring order into my life, like I said, it's usually because something's not going well. And I'm having negative feelings. And so this is the paragraph I was going to read. I found it. What tends to happen is that we make a fixed image of the situation or the person, and we extrapolate and amplify the negative part of them. And we forget that each person has a history. They got that way. They're going someplace. They're moving through life just as we are. But we just tend to, it's almost like the universe, we put a freeze frame on the universe, and we just see what is then and there. And what happens to us when we do that? Well, it leads to suffering and angst and conflict, perhaps, all those wonderful things. So here is the part that I always wait to hear. What is it that we can do about this? I think that a turning point or a starting point is when we even have the awareness that we're not privy to everything that's going on. We don't know everything. You know, in the time of Jesus, they could have had cell phones and radios and computers and TVs and all of those things. Their society was perhaps not advanced to the level at which those things could be manufactured and sought out. It was a very different kind of living. But the laws of energy and electronics and communication were in place then, just as they are now. So, you know, it just makes me wonder, what else is in place now that I don't know, that we don't know? And I don't know those answers, but I think even to be able to turn to that perspective at times when we're feeling agitated or you know, wound up may be helpful. So, you know, a lot of you know I was in school for my whole life. I have several degrees, and I've taught college, I've taught school. I'm a very literal, rational thinker. And that's helpful for some things, but, you know, when you get into judging, when making decisions, solidifying the processes of ego, we, as I said, cut off other options. Now, when I talk about the flowing order of divine order, and that doesn't mean that that just helps me forget everything I need to change in this life. We do need to do all the things I talked about. So I'm not putting down ego or that state of mind. I'm simply pointing out that having a more balanced perception of what's going on may be helpful. So I'm going to, I have a short meditation here, if you will, from Wayne Dyer. You know, Wayne Dyer is a beloved teacher who passed on a year or so ago, but his work still lives in many of our histories and consciousnesses. So I'd like to share this with you, and you certainly may close your eyes or not, as you please. So here are Wayne Dyer's thoughts on divine order. Think about all the people who share the stage with you as you move through life. Can you affirm that everyone you need shows up and that they're perfect in every way for whatever needs you have at that time? In this intelligent system that you're a part of, everything arrives from the field of intention where the invisible, infinite life force flows through everything and everyone. This includes you and everyone else as well. Trust in this invisible life force and the all-creating mind that intends everything into existence. I suggest that you do a quick review and note all of the people who've shown up as characters in this play called Your Life. It's all been perfect. Your ex-spouse showed up at just the right time, just when you needed to create those children you love so much. The father who walked out on you so that you could learn self-reliance left right on time. The lover who abandoned you was a part of this perfection. The lover who stayed with you was also taking his or her cues from Source. The good times, the struggles, the tears, the abuse, all of it involved people coming into your life and then leaving, or perhaps remaining, as a part of the flow of order through your life. This is your past. And whatever your energy level at that time, whatever your needs, whatever your station in life, you attracted the right people and events to you. You may feel that they didn't show up when you needed them, or that, in fact, you were alone and no one showed up at all. But I urge you to see it from the perspective of all life being in divine order. If no one showed up, it was because you needed to handle something on your own. And therefore, you attracted no one at that time. Viewing the past as a play in which all the characters and all entrances and exits were scripted by your source and represent what you attracted at that time frees you from guilt, regret, or even revenge. As a result, you go from being an actor who's influenced by others playing roles of producer and director to being the writer, producer, director, and star of your own glorious life. You'll also be the casting director who possesses the ability to audition anyone you choose. Base your choices on taking the path of no resistance and staying harmonized with the ultimate producer of this entire drama, our universal all-creating source. So now, just as a parting image, I'd like to go back to the ice cube and the water. We all need ice cubes, especially in the summer, to cool hot drinks. I love ice. If you ever go out to eat with me, you know I order usually a glass of iced tea and a glass of ice. So I do love and need ice. You also know, I'm sure, that if you pour a drink onto the ice, the drink's always going to be warmer by definition because it's not frozen, that eventually the ice melts. It dissolves in its outer layers first because of the warmth of the water. And if you leave it long enough, it really totally melts away into the liquid. And so, you know, I'm not of the impression that I'm going to be so lifted up this week that my ego self will just melt into the warmth of the flow of divine order. But it's an image that I can use to remind myself. And maybe at times when I'm really agitated and focused on that little order, that I can at least think about the divine order that flows around me and supports me. And maybe a little bit of that separateness and or rigidity might melt. So thank you all.
Thank you both, Linda and Sue Ellen, for those thoughts on divine order. It's now time.